Before I go to my next message, it's actually very short, this next one. I'd like you to maybe at least interact with me on what I shared. I guess my question is, does this help you in your prayer? And in what way, at least knowing these things? No? So I'd like to hear from you guys what you got out of it. Okay? You remember the message that I shared? What did you get out of what I shared? At least to help you in your life of prayer. Yeah, sure. I think what I do, well, I think before I answer that question, you know, you'll find out, I've asked that as well of other people, and it really varies, but I think the pattern, what I do is my prayer time and my reading, my devotional time is basically combined, reading the word and prayer. Before, when I was still a new disciple, I was praying first and then I read the Bible, but I found out, I don't know if I learned that from Pastor Steve, it's easier for me to pray after you've read the word, because what the word does is it opens already the connection with God. No? So that's really my default on a daily basis. I guess my difficulty is because I bring the kids to school. You know, I guess the practical constraints here. Ideally, you know, I want to devote a good hour every day to prayer, and I mean the word and prayer, but sometimes it's about half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on, you know. So it's really word and prayer combined. I don't know if that answers your question. And it varies in time. I know we teach, di ba, mas maganda consistency. I think when I was single, madaling gawin yun, but I guess when you're a parent, especially with bigger children, and that's, I think that's part of the conviction that I feel. It's like, Lord, you know how I want to spend time with you. What happens many times is I end up, because of the early time, dito kasi sa C5, you know, I live C5. C5, what took me 10, 15 minutes before now takes me an hour and a half sometimes. So ganun ka. So what I do is, dito na minsan, I leave and this is where I spend time already in prayer. At least I have a good 40, you know, half hour, 45 minutes uninterrupted time. So does that answer your question? How about you? You tell me. Oh, how do you spend time?
Usually, po, every time I drive or wake up in the morning, or if not, parang if for a lack of time, while I'm driving, I'm praying. Yeah. Or sometimes I hear some preaching, some podcasts.
Okay. Yeah.
Even during the night. Sure. Most of the time, every night, me and my wife, we pray together and we do that.
That's good. Well, dito sa Manila, bro, mapapatangs ka na talaga eh. Kundi, I mean, anybody went to the School of Empowerment here? I think all of us, I think the takeaway for most people is praying in tongues. And I've done that. And I make it productive. Bro, sa Santa Cruz, di ba? Wala naman traffic doon, bro. Okay. So, that's a short drive. But here, I mean, 45 minutes to an hour. So I do that too. I listen to preachings. Oh, yun. Dun talaga, ano. Yeah, so I guess it's, I just try to, anyway, again, I don't want to gripe and complain. It's stressful already to live here. How I wish I could actually live where you guys live. Bro, ang sarap sa probinsya talaga. Sa totoo lang eh. Yes, Henry. Okay. Ganun na. Pwede ka na magbasa sa tagal ng traffic. Ha? Anyway, any other quick question or a comment or something that you got out of this? Did you get something?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sige, kung wala na, let me give you another quick message. I found out the last minute that what I wanted to share, apparently I did share already with you, but this was just last week, no, I there's because I'm trying to think you know, most of my teaching naman kasi are more for leaders who are being trained and equipped. But I mean, you're all spiritual leaders already, and so what else can I share with you? I mean, you should be teaching here also, okay? I should be listening to you. And I mean that, okay? Each one of you have earned the right to tell your story, and not just to tell your story, but really to impart to others. So, sayang nga, na-miss ko nga yung mga testimonies, but you men have something to say, okay? I've learned this for people who have walked this journey of faith and have fought spiritual battles. That's where, parang ano yan eh, parang wartime story siya eh. Pag dumaan ka sa challenges eh, you do have something to say already, okay? Anyway, I shared this at our EN Campus Prayer Meeting, and it's been something I've been meditating upon. So this is really a brief teaching, but let me share it anyway. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. I'm reading out of NIV, no, just because I like the translation. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is an important time of transition in the life of Israel as a nation. Moses, okay, had just died, and Joshua was now the designated leader, the appointed leader by God. And sabi niya, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. I want to speak briefly on courageous leadership. See, Moses was a hard act to follow. How many of you would have liked to be in the succeed Moses, okay? I think all of us who pioneer a work appreciate the privilege of doing that. You're the Moses, I guess, when you pioneer the work. But when you're the one who succeeds the one who pioneered the work, that's a bit of a challenge too. I think some of you may have been in that case. Three times it's mentioned here by the Lord to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I think we all understand whenever something is emphasized in the Bible, it's repeated, right? The fact that it's repeated three times shows the vital need for these virtues in the leaders that the Lord will use to bring about His people taking over the land. And I want to share with you three thoughts on courageous leadership. Number one is the reason for courageous leadership. Okay, why do we need to be not just leaders, but courageous leaders? The first is because people are following you. Okay? It was funny, the other day I was watching a YouTube video. You know how it is when you watch a video and then natuloy-tuloy na. I ended up watching a Benny Hinn video, and the video was proving Benny Hinn as a false prophet. Okay, so I got intrigued. Okay, so what does this guy have to say? Now, you know, we know Benny Hinn. I mean, he's good, but he's also, I don't know if that's the model that we necessarily would follow in terms of ministry, but certainly I appreciate him and I like him. So anyway, so here was this guy parked in front. He had been invited, Benny Hinn had been invited to a church in San Jose, California. I think that's where the church of Ron Kinoly was. Dick Bernal, I think, is the pastor. So there's a picture of this man standing in front of the parking lot of the church building. So bini-video siya, no? And he was, I think, holding a placard, and he was ranting and raving. You know, Benin is a false prophet. You know, he says that Jesus died spiritually. You know, I guess, I don't know how deep Benny's theology is, and so I think sometimes it gets controversial because he will say things that will sound like heretical. And so, you know, he may have probably said something like that, that Jesus died spiritually. And that's why I think, you know, obviously as spiritual leaders, we have to discern. I mean, we see the fruit of his ministry, but obviously he needs a lot. He would probably need some balance or at least more accurate vocabulary. But anyway, the point was, so this guy was ranting and raving, you know, he's a false prophet, he's this, he's that, you know, he just wants your money or whatever. I mean, he just would say these things. And then there was the guy, I think he was probably one of the ushers or one of the leaders of the church that's hosting Benny Hinn, and he confronted him and says, who are you, okay? What are you doing here, okay? Who are your followers? Where are your followers? And the guy started, you know, who's following you? Where are your followers? Okay? You know, if you're a leader, where are your followers? Basically saying. And the guy couldn't answer because, and I thought about this, here's this guy speaking as an authority, and everybody has the right to speak whatever they want. They can speak against Billy Graham. They can speak against anything they want. But I guess, may validity rin yung question ng tao, who's following you? Okay? How do you know that you're called to be a leader? It's so simple. Are people following you? Okay? You can proclaim yourself as a leader, but the proof of leadership is, are people following you? Now, I think, let me qualify that statement though. Okay? When I say people are following you, they're not following you because of you. They're following you because of who you represent. Okay? And I think, lest we forget, and this thing get to our head, and saying, hey, I'm this great leader. Okay? Alalahanin natin, we're representing somebody, and that's the one they're following, and we are his representatives. So, why do we need to be courageous? Because people are following us. Now, let me say something. If you look at Moses, Moses, according to the Bible, was the greatest leader, right? That the Old Testament ever produced. Okay, the greatest prophet. And rightfully so. Can you imagine the law of God, the covenant law of God was given to him single-handedly. The Pentateuch. I mean, well, the Pentateuch includes the five, but the point is the very moral laws of God were given to him. No, nobody like Moses. Okay? But if you look at Moses' leadership, there's a difference between Moses' leadership and Joshua's leadership. Okay, and I'm not saying that it's bad or good. I'm saying it's different. See, Moses was more of a pastoral leader. He was a shepherd, remember? And he had to bring Israel against their will, really. As bad as their slavery was, they didn't really want to leave, isn't it? They were got so used to their slavery that they just lived with it. One of the most powerful movies that I ever watched was that of Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins, okay, called Shawshank Redemption. Anybody seen that? Okay. If you haven't watched it, apparently there's this survey. It's considered to be one of, not the greatest movie ever made. I mean, not obviously compared to those classics in the 20th century. It's really poetic justice. And it talks about, it's about these people who were in prison and Tim Robbins being falsely convicted and how he escaped. I mean, you'll be on the edge of your seats. But the point was, there was one story there of this person who had been in jail for so long. When he finally got out of jail, he was so not used to being free. And he was so broken and lonely and depressed. Okay, if I say this, then it'll be the spoiler for the story. So I won't say the ending. Okay, but it was one of the sad things because he was so used to in prison, be free. Anyway, that's how the Israelites were. So Moses basically was a shepherd leader to them. And we need that kind of leadership in our lives, isn't it? We need to be a shepherd. We need a shepherd in our lives. We need to be shepherds over God's people, to nurture them, to care them, to restore them. But remember, while Moses was a shepherd, Joshua was a military commander. There was a difference in their leadership, isn't it? And the difference between their leadership is that one, while one nurtured the people, the other one challenged the people to take the inheritance that belonged to them. And so the kind of leader that Joshua was gave the people of Israel a choice whether they were going to follow his leadership and do what God wanted them to do or not. Okay? And so if you're going to be a leader that will inspire and challenge the people of God to take their inheritance, you have to be strong and courageous. You cannot just be a leader that will nurture them. You have to challenge them. Nakama, we need both. It's not one or the other. Don't get me wrong. We need Moses. And we need to be a Moses to people, but we need to be a Joshua as well to challenge God's people to take their inheritance. That's really what apostolic leader is. And so, people are following you. Leadership, someone said, is making people do what they don't want to do so that they can be what they've always wanted to be. Let me say that again. Leadership is making people do what they don't want to do so that they can be what they've always wanted to be. So many people have dreams and their aspirations, but left to themselves, they won't do it, isn't it? God wants to bless them. God wants to enlarge their territory, as Jabez prayed. Kaya lang, without leadership in their lives, you know, that I think about my own life. If Pastor Steve did not challenge me to, well, he didn't challenge me directly. God was already working in my heart, and as I was asking for his wisdom, he was the one who told me, you know, you can be this and you can be that. And fortunately, God gave me the grace to respond, and the Lord has brought me to this day and given me the opportunity to serve. Next, so why do we need to be courageous? Because people are following us. We need to lead people to inherit God's promise. Next is the authority of courageous leadership. What did it say? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You'll be prosperous and successful. Now, I think we all believe in this scripture, right? Meditating on God's word. We talked about prayer. We talked about the importance of prayer. I mean, the importance of the word to help build us up as a follower of Christ. But really, I think when they ask the question, if you want to be successful, then this is how you should do it, right? We all want to be successful, right? But I think we missed the point. It says here, what does God want us to be successful in? It's not just successful in life. It's successful in leading God's people to inherit the land. Okay? In other words, the success wants to give you is success in your leadership. And the question is, what is the basis of your leadership? It's your ability to correctly handle God's word. What is the basis of your spiritual authority as a leader? It's not how well you talk. It's not your eloquence. It's not your good looks. Come on. It's not your education. It's none of those. It's your ability to correctly handle God's word. That's what will give you authority. Okay? Kahit saan ka man nang galing, pag alam mo kung paanong i-handle ang salita ng Diyos, yun yung authority mo. Yun yung ability mo to lead God's people. Okay? Robert Clinton said it so well. He said, Robert Clinton, not Bill Clinton, okay? Robert Clinton, the author of The Making of a Leader. I recommend that you read it. We read it, many of us. It's a research-based book on how God makes you into a leader. Excellent, excellent book. I think we have some available in the bookstore. He said this, the most important determinant, thank you, of spiritual leadership. Well, that's na shortcut yan eh. Let me say this. Mas ano to. The most important determinant of spiritual leadership is spiritual authority. Okay? In other words, if you're called to be a spiritual leader, kailangan may spiritual authority ka. And your most important determinant of spiritual authority is the accurate handling of God's word. Okay? Why do we need to have an understanding of spiritual authority? Because you will be challenged. You'll be challenged by the devil. Come on. You'll be challenged by the people if the people are carnal people. But remember, Jesus was always questioned by the Pharisees, who gave you the authority to do these things? You need to know the basis of your authority. Okay? It's your ability to handle God's word. So the more skilled and the more the word of God is real in your life, guess what? You don't have to be insecure. You don't even need to prove yourself. Even when there are people who are accusing you, you can be gracious to them. Okay? Kasi ang authority mo is the word of God. Kaya nga sabi niya dito, meditate on my word day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I think we all understand careful meditation leads to careful obedience. And careful obedience leads to success and prosperity in God. And the third mention of courageous leadership is, again, found in verse 9. And this shows us the source of courageous leadership. Sabi niya, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So ultimately, strength and courage doesn't come from you, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm not a person who's never unafraid. I mean, I do have fears. I do have insecurities. I do have whatever. Okay? But what gives me confidence to lead God's people is the promise of God that I will be with you. And that's really, ultimately, that matters. People will know if Jesus is with you. Remember, the disciples, when they were being confronted by the authorities in Acts chapter 4, sabi niya, or Acts chapter 5, diba? They were threatened. You know, why are you preaching? And he said, they took note that these men were educated and that they had been with Jesus. That was the only thing about them that distinguished them, these ordinary men. They knew these people have been with Jesus. And when you're with Jesus, let me tell you, you're formidable. Okay? In fact, if you read the story again in the narratives of the accounts in Deuteronomy, Judges, Joshua, every time the Israelites would come, the nations would be so afraid. Why? Because they knew that their gods walked among them. The devil isn't afraid of you. He's afraid of who is inside of you. And the closer you walk with God, the stronger and more courageous you become. Now, that's it, basically. And I want to just ask you this question. How do you handle when you're intimidated by the enemy? How do you handle it when you're feeling insecure and inadequate? Okay? He says, be strong and courageous. That's the way you handle it. So, all right, any comments or thoughts or questions, clarification from what you've heard. Or application at least in your life where you've seen that you've needed to display strength and courage. Yes, Kicks.
yung nag-impact sa akin is yung sa the reason for courageous leadership, nung sinabi mo about what kind of a leader was Moses and kung si Joshua. Kasi before, I'm more of a militaristic kind of leader. Kumbaga, this is what we need and this is what we're gonna do, so let's do it. No excuses. But then, ang nangyari, people got burnt out and napagod. Mm-hmm. So parang in my heart, nagkaroon ako ng fear and trauma. I don't want it to happen again. Mm-hmm. So recently naman, parang, okay, I've learned how to be a Moses naman. Leading them, talking, being patient, talking with people. But then I realized na parang hindi ko na sila na-challenge ulit na parang this is where we wanna go. So parang anong ginagawa natin? Lagi na lang, parang I told the staff one time, are we just counseling people or are we really discipling them? Sabi ko. So what are we doing? Ginanong ko sila. So I think this is very effective kasi nga, napakaano, yesterday I was in market, punta ako sa book sale. Tapos nakita ko yung on sale yung Bill Hybels na Courageous Leadership. So sabi ko, kahit nabasa ko na to, hardbound, ang ganda. So binasa ko ulit. And I think this is a good reminder for us of yung identity pa rin natin eh, na if God has called you here, parang authority will not come from your experience. Authority will not come from what you know. But authority really comes from yung correct handling of the Word of God and yung the source of your courageous leadership. So it gave me the confidence, parang yung fear ko dati na I don't want to happen, parang it gave me more confidence now na yung authority is not from you, it's not from what where you came from, but God placed you there, God called you there. So kung ano yung binigay sa'yo na vision ni God, dun mo sila dalhin. So and let them rest, let them wrestle with God kung meron mga ano. So I think yun yung ano ko, very timely tong topic na to for me.
Yeah. Excellent, thank you. All right, anybody else? Yes, Jason.
I agree with Kicks, but I'd like to add a little bit on that concept of again, Pastor Manny, na-remind po ako dun sa yung being Moses and Joshua, being a nurturing leader and the one who challenged. We need both. Mm-hmm. I think we need wisdom, mm-hmm, on how to if the people we are leading is they need the nurturing, mm, so hindi nila kailangan ng yun yung parang somewhat similar dun sa I think sinabi concept ng binabanggit ni Alex Castillo, situational leader, situational somewhat like that leadership,
yeah.
Kasi pwedeng yung tao pala kailangan niya ng pastoral, pero dinidikdik mo siya, challenge mo. So but of course we can do both, but sometimes we have to be careful. Yung tao pala kailangan ng encouragement lang kailangan niya, pero puro challenge yung binibigay mo. So I was reminded of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's I think I'm glad that you said that, because that's really my hope, is we would be discerning leaders, knowing what our people need at certain points in time. And the thing kasi nga is, we default to a certain type of leadership, isn't it? Left to ourselves. Diba? That's why we also, one of the things is, well, that's why we need a leadership team, because some of us are more militaristic, I guess, in that sense. Some of us are more nurturing. And we may not necessarily be, I think there's a grace for us to shift as the needs of the people are, especially if you're the senior leader of your church. God will give you the grace to be what the people need at certain points in time. But you're going to learn to exercise discernment. But apart from that, realize that because of your certain style of leadership, that's why you need a team with you that complement your style, so that you get the full nurturing. That's why actually, this is another perspective, but that's why fivefold ministry gifts are so important. And whatever your fivefold ministry gifting is, and Pastor Steve modeled this to us years ago when he was still pastoring Makati and eventually Shangri-La, he would invite certain people. He would invite Pastor Rice, because Pastor Steve, He's apostolic, he's a teacher, but he's not an evangelist. He would invite prophets because he was not prophetic in that sense. And so, nakikita namin kung ano yung hindi niya gifting and grace, yun yung iniimbita niya para ma-complement, ma-mature, tsaka ma-equip talaga yung mga church. So, I think in a similar sense, yun nga, being a nurturing and also being a challenging and motivating leader, your people need that at certain junctures. And you need discernment to be able to do that. So, great. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Henry. And then Rui after.
Just for the question of how could we handle feeling of insecurity and inadequacy. Normally, kasi we're having a feeling of insecurity kapag alam natin that we know less about the topic or the things that we are doing. And in leadership, I believe one of the things by which we can handle this is having a greater revelation of who Jesus is in us. Because as we lead in one way or another, we'll be, may mga bagay talaga na magkakamali at pagkakamali kaya. But being secure of your relationship with Jesus Christ, na knowing that magkamali ka man, your value is, it doesn't diminish.
Yeah.
And I believe that's it.
Yeah.
With that, excellent. We can be a great and courageous leader.
Excellent. In fact, I think all of us go through seasons like that. And I think I've been in this thing long enough to know that if you're defensive, then it makes the people respect you less. But if you're just humble and say, you know, I don't know, or I was wrong, forgive me, but I'll learn from it. Magugulat ka. The people don't, the respect is not diminished. It's enhanced, actually. And God doesn't expect us someone to be perfect. So I think we all have a sense of inadequacy. Because we're, you know, the knowledge of God is so vast and our experience and our capacity is limited. It's a mystery, in fact, that God would entrust us with leadership, but He does. That's why it's a grace and a privilege to be where we are. And I think as long as we position ourselves in humility, people will continue to follow our leadership. So, yes, Rui?
I think one important thing then in about courageous leadership is actually finding a reason to be courageous about. Kasi there will come a time that, I mean, na birthing church and let's say it's working, ang sarap mag-settle in, pahinga muna, and parang you don't have to be courageous na kasi it's working. And of course, it's different for everyone, but to actually discern God, what's the next big thing for your church. Like I told you the story, we're having this building project. That's big for us. And that took a lot of faith for me and for the church to believe in this. So, pag may mga ganong moments, ma-apply mo na tong mga tatlong principles na to. Pero, tapos, and you'll be amazed that the church will rally behind you, that they'll see your courage and they really want to believe in that impossible thing that you're saying. And I'm saying that there will come a time na parang wala na, parang sarap ng mamahinga. And in us, God created us to be warriors and hunters eh. Lalo na we're men. I hope we're men. So kailangan talaga natin yung thrill of that na parang, Lord, what's next?
Yeah.
Like this building, for example. This is big for us.
Excellent. Part of the reason why I gave this message, I just finished the book of Joshua. This is just my devotional reading. And I'm now in the book of Judges. And you can see the contrast, I think, as Rui pointed out. Once you have accomplished pioneering, I think Jim LaFoon said it this way, we have to transition from a pioneering mentality to an occupying mentality. And there's a difference, I think, between settling and occupying. Remember, di ba, during World War II, di ba, pag naka-country ka na kinonquer, kailangan i-occupy mo yon. And when you occupy something, You know, remember, that's what the Japanese tried to do with us. In the 3 short years that they were with us, they tried to change our language. They tried to enculturate us. And I think in a similar sense, remember, the Israelites were told, get rid of all of the people and the nations. Talagang don't compromise with them. Don't intermarry. Yung nangyari sa kanila, siguro napagod. Diba? Kasi if you read up until Joshua chapter 19, basta ganun eh. And even the first chapter of the book of Judges, kasi I'm just right there, no? Parang may nagawa nga sila, pero meron rin sila hindi nagawa. And nangyari, nung hindi na sila ganun kagutom siguro, kasi nga, na-occupy mo na, doon naging snare ngayon yung mga... And so I think David, the life of David is another example. Remember, in the times when kings go off to battle, he was on vacation mode. And that's when he became vulnerable to temptation. And so, yes, there's a time for war. There's a time to rest. And I think, I agree. It's our default. This is we're supposed to conquer territory. I don't know about you, but I still feel the energy until this nation bows its knee to Jesus. Yeah. And so, ni pa rin. For all the advancement of God's kingdom, you know, the percentage of evangelical Christians in the Philippines is only about 12 to 15%. Not much. Korea, at some point, gained 35, 40% Christians. Singapore, what, about 20? Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation, was about 20% now. Now the government isn't acknowledging that. And they include Catholics, I believe. So the point is, at least in our own context here, I hope you're not, you know, as of course, it's the grace of God. He gives the growth. Remember, we can't grow. We only plant and we only water. But like I think as Rui was pointing out, we need to stay hungry. We need to stay, there's a sense of divine discontentment. Not because we want to prove ourselves, but because it's Jesus' inheritance. And Caleb, can you imagine, 85 years old. He's still as strong as he was when he got the promise. Why? Because hindi pa niya nakoconquer yung Hebron. Di ba? I want this hill country. Okay? And I actually, that was the mentality I had when we pioneered our church. Kasi those two campuses, Lord, and you know, I share this candidly with you guys because UP and Ateneo, these are some of the top universities in the nation. And that belongs to Jesus. And we have an inheritance. Okay? UP Los Baños, the Pastor Gilbert Nun, they had a tithe of the students. Can you imagine one campus, they had more than 10%. Okay, I guess that was during your time. So, okay, wherever you are, what city, what campus, come on, if you will ask God, he'll give it to you, okay? All right, any last comments? Yes, Orly.
In line with courageous leadership, we should be, yeah, it's like yung building projects that we are doing or transferring to a bigger place where there are a lot of challenges to face. And yet, when, of course, courageous leadership will move people towards that end. And yet, it's still good to make plannings and good estimate about the things that we do. Because I heard a lot of stories about doing something and yet not able to fulfill it, and then the people got discouraged about it. And so we need to be apply wisdom and apply good planning and good estimate so that we can fulfill everything that we do.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad you said that because obviously we want to be careful not to be too, or too visionary that we don't do planning and we don't do strategy. By the way, speaking of strategy, if you read the book of Joshua, I learned this from Dr. Nomer Bernardino. Notice where they attacked first. They attacked Jericho, right? If you look at the map of Israel, Jericho is right in the middle of the land that God had promised them. So it's a very clear strategy of divide and conquer. By attacking the middle, in isolate the northern tribes and the southern tribes. Okay? And if you notice, each of the successive battles were in the southern part of Israel. Nung na-conquer nila yun, saka nila tinira yung north. Okay? So, God is a very deliberate God. He's a strategist. if you're going to take your city, okay, don't just throw everything there. Strategize. Okay? So, it's a fascinating, I'm not a military strategist, but if you look, very deliberate yun. Hindi lang random yun. Okay? Kinot off nila. Kasi remember, the tribes were working together, the nation, the cities, remember? Kaya kinot off niya agad. Pag nasa gitna ka, di ba? Nahati mo na agad. Hindi na magti-team up yung mga ibang nations to fight against the Israelites. So, all right. Good. No more? Yes, sir. Or more, I don't know if military is the right word, or more, yeah. Okay, good. Oh, so half and half. Oh, di ang gawin niyo, bro, mag-change pulpits kayo every now and then, okay? Para, yeah. Yes.
Pastor, I guess, ano rin yun, nagbabago rin yun, depende dun sa sitwasyon na nandun na tayo. You can be nurturing at the time and be militaristic at another time.
Yeah. Agree. All right. Yes, Sam.
In our experience, in my context, is that how could I rally my people with this project? Kasi parang wala na akong alam eh. My experience limited. And we just do prayer, and may mga tao from Metro Manila or other places, pastors who come na yung topic nila, eksaktong-eksakto yung gagawin namin. Uh-huh. Just like Pastor Manny Moreta, pasyal sa Tagaleta, and then nag-preach siya, and then we have a convergence. Ang tinuro niya, discipleship. Uh-huh. Kasi you're going to transfer, pag nandiyan yung tao, how could you, secure yung engage nyo? So, discipleship. And then Pastor Sab, sinabi ko kanina, nung pumunta, kinuha kami yung faith. Na ito na. Oh, dapat true faith. So kumbaga, it's good na we sometimes as people or we pray for it na God will bring people to your church na yung mag-encourage sa'yo. So yun na encourage yung team. Kaya ganun yung experience namin.
Yeah. Agree. Again, it's I think we're all reinforcing the same thought nga na both nurturing and challenging are vital facets of leadership, and you need to discern which at some point. And that applies individually, corporately. There'll be times that you need, especially if you're about to launch and engage in a major project, diba? I think the strategy there is strengthen them first, nurture them to a place of strength, then you challenge them. Kung titingnan nyo, ganun naman si Lord, diba? Remember, sabi nga ni Lord, pagka-lead niya nung Israelites sa Egypt, hindi naman niya pinadiretso sa Kadesh Barnea kasi they're gonna face war right away. Di ba? And they might turn back. That's why he had them go to the through the Red Sea. Of course, they saw the miracle. If you analyze, God really intended for the Israelites only to stay in the wilderness about 2 years. There's still a place, kasi nga, it's not just being in the wilderness. Yes, they learn to depend upon God. He caused you to hunger, fed you with manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But I think he was nurturing them in that sense to prepare them for the spiritual battle, for the battles that were up ahead. Unfortunately, I guess they were still enslaved in their... That's one of the things one of the messages I tried to develop. They were already free from slavery, but yet in their minds, they were still slaves. And unfortunately, a slave mentality will not take you into the promised land. Kailangan mo talaga magkaroon ka ng renewing of the mind. And so maybe the nurturing that you do is not just to care for them, is to dress their wounds, but to renew them. Because the more your minds are renewed, remember, they came out as slaves and they were going to be turned into soldiers. I mean, I think that's why they needed nurturing, because they were slaves. And you can't short-circuit that process. That's why in discipleship is really nurturing in many ways. Healing them, setting them free, building foundations in their lives. Diba? But as they Diba? Don't short circuit. It's kind of like raising your own children. Diba? Hindi mo naman pwedeng bigyan agad ng responsibility yan. Kailangan alagaan mo muna. Pag malakas na yan, then you can start. So, I think you have it, you know. Yes, maybe your default style is you're more nurturing than more challenging, but you can do both as long as you're discerning where the people are at. All right? Okay. Lord, bless these tremendous men of God. Lord, let them be the kind of leader, Father, that will reflect your presence, your spirit. Lord, thank you that from the models of leadership we've learned. But Lord, you are ultimately our leader, Jesus. And when we think about you, Lord, you are our shepherd. You do nurture us, Lord. You restore our souls. And you're also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You lead us into battle. Be that to us, O Lord, that we might lead your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you.